Thank you so much for your welcome, for your prayers. I must just put my offering in. And I'm going to put the message this morning. It's quite a simple one. And I'm going to put it into practice. I'm not going to use my notes. I felt Lord say, go off piste and I'll speak through you. But basically, what I have to share, I'll try and colour with my own experiences in the business world, where you're away from family, friends, Christians, everyone, and how do you stand and put into practice where you really work and live what God seeds in us. So let's pray. Just briefly, we've prayed, but let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, give us ears this morning to hear you and minds to understand what you're saying to each of us. And it's good news this morning for the Father, and it's Father's Day. The Father wants more good things to grow in my life and in yours, each one of you, not just now, but through the coming weeks and months. Thank you. And the way he's going to attain it is through our thinking. And this is a word for the journey too. That's how more things will grow for good in our lives where we are. And this verse hasn't actually come out in the PowerPoint, but it says, what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock? Now, what it isn't is what the pictures are, a big burning sun that's going to flame everything, and a Kango hammer, which is one of those must use in your lifetime once things. If you haven't used a Kango hammer, put it on your Christmas list, whether you're a woman or a man, and especially when you've had a bad day. But actually, those words are given in a farming context. You must burn off the straw. The old harvest was very good and enjoyed, and the new harvest must grow in its goodness through the ash. It also burns off the weeds. And the hammer means those hard places in a field, because in a field you get good bits and you get bits where weeds are. It's just normal. And you get rocky bits and you till it so that you can have more fruit. So I'm just going to pen that one there. But it's all for good. Because our frame of mind can determine our reactions. Who remembers this 10 years ago? Or on Father's Day, our attitude to people, for Star Wars fans or Apple. And we can, crossrails coming through here, isn't it? Or we can get so set in our thinking, that's all we ever do to the end. Any sign of the 8:35 to Shenfield? And Jesus knew that, so he talked to his disciples and also explained. I brought a big Bible because I thought it's a big church. And he said this, and he particularly explained it to his friends, and we're his friends too, because he wanted them to be more fruitful where they were at. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Yet other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 30 times, 60 times, 100 times more than was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear, Jesus said. And they asked him, what does that mean? His friends, the 12. And he said, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it in our minds, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But, and here's the message for us, the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it in our thinking. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whether you're at work, whether you're at play, at school, whoever you're with the difficult people, with the lovely people we know, wherever. And why? Well, this is taken from the Heart Life program, which I understand some of you have done. Our thinking, according to the situation, determines our behavior. So I'm going to share a little bit about what I've found about this, because when I'm alone away, I find my thinking gets under attack, and I often find like a farmer's field, there's paths in the old fields, you didn't have tractors, you had to walk to sow, so there were paths, hard bits amongst the fields. Now we're all nice, we have to sort of walk around it, and there's a signpost saying footpath and all that, but in real life it didn't, so you'd have them all there. We can have our minds fixed and not set on what's being said. What causes that? This is what I find in my life. Things that bother me when I think I'm right, because I'm right. And also when people hurt me. And sometimes when I get dumped by a girlfriend. I used to struggle to get girlfriends. It was hard. It's all right now. That's good. Thank you, Linda. And for me, what's the result? I'm not open, like those people, to what's being shared in front of me. And I find for myself, it's a road to joyless, grim determination. Not immediately. If I go along this for some weeks, months, days even, and I switch off, going through the motions. I'm just sharing personally. And for me, the telltale signs, I start losing it at work a bit more. In the car park, the person who cuts me up, and of course, that happens anyway. Well, not here, of course, but in the Journey Church, of course. And so I catch myself and I say, oh, where does that come from? Or when I'm tired. And I find in me the root of hard path thinking. So what God's sowing is I'm sitting in the judgment seat on others or on things. Because I'm right. That church is rubbish. That speaker, useless. I know the trap door's going to open in half an hour. How long have I got? We'll be better than that. And examples in the Bible, well, you can read them. The Pharisees went incandescent with rage, didn't they, when Jesus said some things about them. Completely lost it. And that's why I find in me when I'm at work, because I want that fixed. And so what I find, I need to get out of the judgment seat because I don't have the goodness to sit there. Maybe you do, maybe others do, honestly, but I know I don't. And sometimes when I pray for revelation from God now, I ask for an extra dollop of goodness to handle what he shows me. And the cure, instead, at work, when I catch myself, I pray to him bullet prayers. Help! Possess me with patience. That was one my mother, I learned off my mother. I hope it wasn't us as kids. Probably was. And Jesus considered, valued everyone better than yourself. And the antidote is Philippians 2, 1 to 11. And I just have a key verse, and I'm hoping I don't spill, thank you, the water, which would be unfortunate. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. This is verses 3 to 5. Or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one with another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. It's not my spirit like a hammer, but this is an agricultural hammer, not a Kango hammer. This is so our Father, who's constantly sowing, more will take in my life at work because I've broken it up. I need his help. Is that a word for you this morning? Personally, I don't know, but if it is, ask the Spirit to help you forgive that person, to face that situation, or to move out of the judgment seat, or to fill you, possess you with his endless goodness. Because that place belongs, as Colin explained, to Jesus Christ. Not even the Father sits in the judgment seat. It's Jesus Christ he gives all that to, because he remembers we're dust. Okay, quickly now. Rocky thin soil mindset. Our thinking becomes, my thinking becomes scorched and dry. Real challenge in Tokyo. No sleep for 3 days. Having to do meetings and get things done and resist things. So what scorches our thinking? Pressures from outside. Hard mindsets within. This is from outside, scorched, baked by where I am at work, at school, the family, the other real stuff. And what happens is usually in this, our thoughts of right and wrong go. And what causes that? You can read them if you wish. That's what I find. Nothing wrong with any of them. It's normal life to doubt. Blind faith is useless. So it's not faith at all, really. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but it's useless to me. And the fruit in my life, I have no peace. Real peace. And I start doing stuff I thought I wouldn't. I start smoking again. I start looking to other things, and I behave normally, like an Arsenal supporter, which I am, but I behave like I used to. Telltale signs for me, I find, because I'm watching out for this, I don't want it on Monday, and it can creep up, like the hard path mindset. It's not just once and for all. I become anxious, distracted, and I start doing things I thought I dropped, wanting to do them, to be honest. And where's the source of that? I forget where my security is. Jesus is the rock. I stand on the rock, the house that is built on the rock. And examples of this, look, even Peter denying Jesus in the garden, scorched up by all of it, seeing Christ crucified. He founded the church, so don't be discouraged by any of this, my brothers and sisters. Don't be down. God wants us to hear this, to be fruitful. He's not blaming me. Doubting Thomas, this is common, but if we can learn, more, because we are fruitful, you're fruitful, to trust and obey and cast all our cares on Jesus. And would you believe the antidote verse was our memory song that we sung? And look at someone who put that into practice when everything went out the window. Job. But the key verse is, do not be anxious about anything. You can say it now, I want to. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, every situation, when you're feeling rubbish, when you're, I've completely lost it, I feel God is a million miles away and he's hiding his face from him. When I'm in Tokyo and no one's around, I can ask, or I'm with people, blah, blah, blah. So in every situation, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace, this is what comes back, the peace of God. It's not determined by what's going on around. It's him, his peace inside me that transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Not the anxiety. Hasn't even happened yet. We won't be anxious about it, would we? This is real stuff. And if we can do that, if we can manage that, if I can manage that, I'll be more fruitful where I am. More of what God is sowing in my life will take. Lots is taking, I pray so, but even more will. And that's a word he wants every one of us to hear. Thorny soul mindset. That's a Banksy, by the way. I don't think anyone, I didn't chip it off, and I can't really get that really, why people chip it off. But anyway, they do. A mind taken over by other things. So rocky mind sets from in, concrete sets from within. You add water, off it goes. Hard. A bit like the pastry when I make it. Thin soil, pressures outside, scorched. This one, things grow up. It's common in a field. You get paths, you'll have good soil, lots of good soil. But for more to grow, you need to pull up the weeds. And thorns have long roots. They're not the stuff that just appears. They got their roots from maybe way back, I find. And for me, my thinking, I become an unhealthy fixation. It can be wealth, because I'm in money trouble. Or I've got loads. Or maybe not. It could be overindulging. Having a few too many beers for me with the Arsenal up at the Emirates or whatever. I know nothing wrong in that. If you keep doing it, out of control desires, lust, porn, the whole place is awash, the world through the internet. But hardly anyone mentions it unless you read the Daily Mail. But there's a hook in porn habit and other things, shame. That's why it's not spoken of much, to be honest. There's a hidden kicker, and we don't love ourselves. That's what I find. I think badly of myself deep down. Telltale signs for me, I start doing things in secret when the wife's not there or the mother. I mean, I'm just being honest. Is that okay? You can throw me out. I'm not trying to. And this is how I tell when I'm away on my own. I'm off. I need the antidote. So, and what have we got? King David doing this. He should have been with the army, those of you who remember the biblical story. But he wasn't. He was kicking around bored at the palace and sees a beautiful wife, someone else's wife, bathing. Anyway, he gets really attached to her, takes her for himself, and then it leads to death, for I won't go on. So it's not, don't feel, you know, lessened by any of this. This is normal. But the important thing God wants us to hear is how we can make those areas more fruitful for him, because they're common to man. Hard mindset. It happens, can happen tomorrow. And the cure is to reverse the flow of feeding our desires, which is the root of it. That's the root, feeding our desires, appetites, and be content with what we have got. And the antidote in Scripture, Colossians 3, verses 5 to 17. Verse 16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. So I have to pray, especially when I'm away, not on my own because of the work. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. No, it's all right. Everyone's leaving. But these, God wants me to do this so I can be more, that more of his goodness can grow in my life. It grows everywhere else. And he says, and he explained it to his disciples, you can be 30, 60, 100 times more fruitful. Would you like that? I would. I'd do anything for that. With my work friends, with my Arsenal friends, with my off-road driving friends, with my neighbours, with my children. I'd do anything to be more fruitful. And the Father's saying that for you as well. You are fruitful. Maybe you're already 100 times more than me. I don't know. But you could be 100 times 100 more than me. 1,000. Because this is what he wants for us all the time. Good soil thinking, frame of mind, able to receive. God's constantly sowing all the time in that parable. We don't have to worry about him sowing. I don't have to worry about what you're hearing, because I'm prayed and prayed. He'll be putting lots of seeds. I'm just trying to do my bit and hand out the seeds. And I just pray you will decide if that message is for me. So let's be more open in our minds. Not like the Pharisee. Not like how we can be. And what he wants to grow in our lives personally, just to close, is the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Not anxiety, not unforgiveness, not stress. And our colleagues and family will see it. You don't even have to do anything. It's not that you have to get on any more rotors. Because really, this is what I'm going to close with, and then we'll have a time of quiet prayer, if that's okay. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He actually says, without me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You are bearing fruit. You'll bear even more. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are sowing so much goodness in this place in Maidenhead, where we are, where we serve, where we live. But you want us, you have for us 30 times, 60 times, 100 times more than the very, very good harvest that we've enjoyed before. So I humbly pray, Lord, for this church here and for my own at the journey, that you'll burn off the straw of the old harvest, because it was a very good harvest, very good one, and that will help the goodness of that. You'll grow a harvest 30 times, 60 times, 100 times more. And I just pray, Lord, if there's any of us who have hard mindsets, maybe we've been hurt, I just pray that we would give that to you and ask you to impart to us forgiveness. If we've got scorched by the situation we're in, the people we're with, you put us back on the rock of Jesus Christ. For tomorrow, when we stand, go back with them. We're in the same room with them. And Lord, if there are thorns that have grown up, you're not condemning us, Lord. You know us. You love us. I pray you'd help us today. Why not give them up? Just privately, quietly. I don't know what's going on here, but give them to Jesus. So I've had it. I don't want that in my life anymore. Get rid of it. And ask the Spirit and the Word of God to let the good things grow in its place. That your kingdom come on earth, where we are tomorrow, in the difficult place, with the awkward squad, in the heat of it.